Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
As a talk radio show parasite, the inimitable, the pugtastic, the employophobic, the most obtrusive impartial observer since Operation Mockingbird, the broke-ass activist with a scent of entitlement, broadcasting from an abandoned Masonic lodge at the fluoridated Agenda 21 corporate dictatorship pseudo-death camp of Auckland, New Zealand. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. This is the American Freedom Radio Marathon Special, where we will be having a lot of really awesome guests and also sections of the broadcast where you, the listener, will be able to call in with your donations to keep American Freedom Radio running and expand it into the 21st century mod cons. Now, my very special guest joining me is Dean Clifford, coming at us from the kleptocratic republic of Congo, otherwise known as Canada.
Oh my God! Yeah, how you doing, Vinny?
I'm somewhat fabulous. I mean, my YouTube channel's still down, but you know, I'll survive that.
I have yet to hear what happened with that, actually, and I'm sure we're going to have a talk about it. But it seems that we're all under attack on YouTube, which is just lends even more credence to why we need our own system, because they're just starting to lock down YouTube now. We can't keep our accounts online. Mine got shut down for copyright infringements for using my own videos. So
how dare he?
Yeah, I apparently I can't use my own videos. Apparently it's a copyright somebody else maybe owns. I have no idea. But either way, my channel went down as well, and we're rebuilding it right now. But this is nonsense already. This is why we need our own system. This is why we need our own governments. This is why we need to build something for us, because this other system, we're just never going to be able to do anything in it.
I mean, we've got a hell of a lot of people that are getting really successful on YouTube and stuff like that, and they're making millions of dollars out of it. But they're not talking about scumbaggery. They're not exposing the important issues. Like, hi everybody, the world's fucked and it's controlled by ruthless criminal sociopathic scum. Well, maybe you can just donate a few dollars in here or click on my Google AdSense or something like that, and then boom, a couple of million. No, because ultimately that's not where the money is. The money's never been in truth,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that sure as hell isn't happening. And holy shit, yeah, these people, they got 5-minute videos that are teaching stupid things like how to fucking wash your dishes with baking soda and vinegar, and it's 5 minutes long, and there's 10 million views, and the guy's getting a check for $1 million every month or something like that. But we can't make headway, apparently. Like, our views go down as more people watch them. It's getting ridiculous at this point.
Now, there's the element that happened with me is not necessarily to do with YouTube censoring me per se. It's to do with the personal vendetta that one person had against me and filed a couple of false copyright flags. And unfortunately, thanks to the three strikes and you're out rule, they automatically pulled down my channel. And essentially, I just have to wait for a couple of months for them to get my emails asking them to restore it and review the information and the false copyright flags. And that's 2 months of lost income, which they will not compensate me for. And also the takedown really should never have happened. This loophole shouldn't really be utilized in such a way, but utilized it is.
Well, that's exactly what happened with me as well. There's an individual out there who apparently doesn't like freedom and doesn't like me very much, and so they posted a whole bunch of my videos on their YouTube channel, all sliced up and basically saying a lot of bad things about me. So we reported them, as we rightly should, and their channel got taken down. So in retaliation, they filed dozens and dozens and dozens of fake copyright claims against our channel, getting it taken down, which means we got to deal with all those false bullshit claims where they gave fake names, fake service addresses, complaints, fake everything. And these people are calling us criminals, by the way, but that's how they get back at us. And then they celebrate about this like it's some kind of a victory of some kind. But that's the newest game that they're up to now. So,
see, and that's the other thing. YouTube does need to come in and protect its community, you know, the YouTube community, the people who actually sit there and make videos, because the vast majority of YouTube users have never made or uploaded a video in their life, and they don't even participate in the community. You know, they just watch, they don't give it a like or a thumbs down or anything like that. Half the time they don't even sign in. But the people who spend, you know, hundreds and thousands, tens of thousands of hours making all that video content and uploading it and replying to comments, etc., etc., and blocking trolls and scum and various other forms of filth. I mean, mate, I reckon it would afford you some kind of protection, wouldn't it? But no, it doesn't. Three strikes, you're out. Three strikes, yeah. You're out.
I guess that depends on what your content is. If you're kind of speaking out against the status quo and the establishment, well, I guess we're not afforded any protections, right? So,
well, the thing is, free speech does need to be protected, you know? I mean, not at all costs by any means, because defamation, for example, fraud, these are the things that people can actually really get in trouble over, because there's actually laws against doing that kind of thing. Now, if you misrepresent yourself and you file someone else and they get to damages and things of that nature as a result, you know, financial impact, emotional trauma, etc., as a result of losing their life's effing work, is that legal to do that to someone maliciously and illegally? No, it's not.
Well, what we found was interesting was that some of the first copyright claims that were filed against us by a few people, this Stephen Bates character, who's a part-time DJ and a welfare bum in Toronto, Ontario, and another guy, this Dozik guy or whatever, that don't like me for various reasons, they gave fake service addresses in documents, in online things that they filed that said that these statements were made under oath. So while they're calling us criminals and you know, speaking up for the establishment, trying to say, oh, no, you know, like these are laws. These are the laws and you guys have to obey the law and because these are what the laws are and that dean's a criminal. They're lying under oath and making false copyright claim and claims and notices. So they're actually breaking the laws that they're claiming we should all be following while calling us criminals. Like, it's just insane what's going on. I don't know if they're retarded. I don't know if they're just so deluded they don't even see what they're doing, or they think it's okay to break these holy covenants they call laws in the interests of, I don't know, taking us down in some way or going after what they deem to be other criminals. So just like a police mentality, they can break the law to enforce the law, I suppose. I don't even know how this works. It's just, it's insanity. It's complete insanity.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, committing genocide in order to prevent genocide.
It's like fucking for virginity.
In fact, that's a really great t-shirt, I think, or a great website, you know, just for irony's sake, fuckersforvirginity.com.
I've never heard of it. That's hilarious.
I come up with a whole bunch of million-dollar ideas every day, but I can't be bothered getting them into use because, you know, I'm too busy trying to save the world from sociopaths, you know.
Yeah, it's a full-time job.
I mean, well, and in fact, I was thinking about this thing. God damn it! People hate activists. They fucking hate us. Like, really? They think we're scum and unemployed people and shit like that. And I was just like, bro, you do realize the entire reason why you're even able to go to work and stuff like that without passing through a checkpoint or giving a blood test or you know, taking some kind of iris scan or some kind of microchip or something of that nature is because activists have been busting their ass 7 days a week, 365 days a year to prevent tyranny from
taking over the mother effing country, okay?
For about 15,000 years and counting, yeah.
You owe your very enjoyment of life to the activists of this world, okay? And if you think we're all a bums who don't work for a living, just imagine this. That doing good for people is a bad thing, okay? That preventing bad things from happening is a bad thing, right? Now, imagine what kind of society would prop up if that was a main hardcore belief structure. Would you say it's probably the one we've got going right now, where everybody thinks that being a slave and going to work and absolutely having no input whatsoever into the public sphere, whether via your voice or your money or your participation in any way, shape or effing form, okay, is that the society you want?
No, it's like it's say. Like we get to vote once a year. Yeah. Well, once every 4 years. Sorry, I had my say. I voted for one of three lying scumbags. I've had my say now. I should just shut up and do what I'm told now for the next 4 years.
Well, because that's a lot easier, and it doesn't really ask anything of you today, does it? You know?
Exactly. Isn't that the ticket? These people are all about instant physical gratification. They can't grasp higher concepts. I know that the one guy there used to have a video up online, that Stephen Bates guy, about how, when I first went to jail, and he's like, who's the smart guy now? I get to walk down the street and walk my dog and fuck my girlfriend and eat a steak, and Dean's in jail eating slop and getting fucked in the ass kind of stuff. Like, that was his mentality. And it's like, okay, so because I'm trying to take the moral high ground and stand up for myself and make this a better world, but you get to walk your dog, fuck your girlfriend, and eat a steak, you're the smarter guy for being a slave and just accepting all the bullshit just so you can instantly gratify your fat physical body in the now, right now, with no thought to the future or consideration to the past. Like, it's really sad what's going on. And I agree with you. These people think we're a bunch of welfare bums. Well, you know what? One of the reasons I'm always late getting home to my own shows or when I do interviews on your stuff is because I'm always fucking working. And I ask for donations online to help get our websites up and stuff like that. And I get people leaving me comments saying, here's my donation, get a fucking job. It's like, dude, I work 80 hours a week in construction already, paying and supporting a system that pays your stupid ass to sit at home on welfare. Don't fucking tell me to get a job. So it's just ignorance and stupidity, and it's annoying. And that's why I don't even speak to those people anymore. I ignore them online. I'm only talking with people that are basically awake and ready to start working on building something new. So,
and preferably somebody who's actually willing to start building something new for themselves, because there's nothing worse than, oh, tell me what to do next and tell me what to do next. Like, you need instructions. It's like, you do realize this is your life, right? Okay, I'm not trying to like talk down to you or anything like that, but you may not have figured this out yet like I have. There's never going to be somebody else to solve all your problems, answer all your questions, and be your everything. That is you, and only you, and that's all there ever will be. And you need to take some responsibility for your place in the universe, lest it collapse around you.
Yeah, well, and people are always asking me, like, okay, well, Dean, what do I do? What do I do? Like, what do I file? I want to be free. I want to get out of this system. What do I do? And the first thing I always ask him is, I say, well, I don't know. Like, where do you want to go? What do you want out of life? You have to tell me kind of what you want for a destination before I can start helping you give you directions. If you just tell me, okay, like, where do I start driving? You know, give me directions. It's like, well, where are you going? I didn't even know where you want to go. So how can I give you directions? You don't even know what you want out of life. You don't know what you like to go figure that out first. What do you want out of life? And then we can start working towards your goal, your aspirations.
And you'll only really figure out what you want out of life if you know who you are, you know?
Yeah. So that's it's like they want the answer of what they should even be looking for out of life. And that's just kind of it tells you just how kind of like oppressed we are as a people, that most people don't even know what they would want even if they were free. Right. It's like the freedom to do what? You don't even know what you want to do.
I interviewed a psychiatrist this one time, and one of the things he used to ask his patients was, what makes you happy? Most of them are like middle age, you know, and that kind of thing, working a 5 day a week job, and they've got their car, they got their house, they got their kids, and the majority of them just burst into tears because they honestly don't know. They haven't known what makes them happy for like 20 or 30 years or something, since they started listening to everybody else telling you to go get a job, telling you to do this, telling you to get that degree, you know?
They're in survival mode. You're in 24-hour-a-day survival mode, just trying to survive in this absolutely horrific nightmare of a system, of a world that's been created. And that's, you don't even, that's why you don't know what makes you happy. You've never done anything that makes you happy. You don't even know what that concept means anymore. You think, oh, what makes me happy? Going to a movie once a week, because, you know, my husband and I put $20 each off aside once a week to go to a movie, and then we can still cover our bills and eat and do that kind of stuff, and that's what makes us happy. Like, that's not what we mean by what makes you happy. Like, being able to take 2 weeks off in a month, two hours off once a month to go to a movie or something like that. Like, that's not what we mean by what makes you happy. I mean, what would make you happy just to every day of your life, wake up and every part about your life is just what you want to do and you're happy doing it all and you get by just fine. That's what makes you happy. Not, you know, going to a movie once a month.
I've got this kind of real fear that I might forget my purpose, you know? I might just kind of like decide to give up, like, oh, it's just too hard and that kind of thing, and then get loosed into hedonism, and then for some reason I'll get over my employer phobia and be able to go get a job and go work and stuff like that, and do things that don't really matter in the broad scheme of things, you know? I'll be giving people muffins and cakes at a cafe or making them coffee or something like that. I couldn't ever see myself going back to that. And it's not like it's a choice. It's that I can't. I physically can't do it. I have to work. I have to expose scumbaggery. Because look around in New Zealand. How many other big YouTube channels were there, and 4-day-a-week radio shows, that kind of thing in New Zealand, the broadcasting the truth and giving all the activists a chance to get on the platform and stuff like that and really tell the truth without getting censored or argued with on air and that sort of shit. Nobody! Nobody!
Nobody. Us. We're the only ones that are going to do it. So we're doing it day in and day out, and we're trying our best. And what's really sad is some of these shills, these idiots that we're talking about that have participated in getting some of our channels shut down, which affects me nothing, I might add. It's hilarious, but they they can't even see. They're part of, you know what? I don't even know where I was going with that point. It's so aggravating that we put all this effort into this stuff, and these people are just doing everything they can to shit on us. That's the point I was going to make, because they celebrate in harm when it befalls us, because we're actually trying to make a difference.
It's called being sadistic.
A great term for it.
There was a article that was released by Psychology Today that did a raft of interviews with people and logged their internet behavior. Now, trolling is described as, you know, insulting people, repetitious arguments and things like that, just generally trying to get a rise out of people. And they tried to psych profile the people that would do that kind of thing. And it came up with a pretty big spike in favor of the following conditions. Narcissism. You know, oh, I love me.
Yep.
Sadism. Oh, I love to hurt people. Yeah, I love it when they squeal. And psychopathy. They just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah. Well, in the way, what I equate it to is if, like, I see an old lady trying to walk across the street and she can't because the traffic won't stop. So I walk over, you know, and you put your hand out and you start helping her across the street. And one of those cars just mows you right down and kills you. For attempting to do something good and trying to help somebody. And these people that are coming after us right now are the people standing on the sidewalk who just witnessed that all happen, who wouldn't do anything themselves, and basically rejoice and laugh when you get killed for trying to do something nice. They're like, ha, see, that's why you don't help old ladies across the street, idiot. I get to go home and fuck my girlfriend and eat a steak tonight, and you're dead. Why? Because you tried to help that old lady across the street. Serves you right, you stupid asshole. You know, like, and that's their attitude, and it's really quite terrifying that there are people even like that out there. I don't even know what to say about
that. You know what's worse? It's becoming more common, and it's getting worse.
I would agree.
Right.
Maybe it's the desensitizing from the movies or everything else going on. And
I was just about to say the movies, bro. I've watched
umpteen movies. Do you have any idea how many fictional concepts in the movies in just like the last 10 years have involved the end of the world in some way, shape, or form? Mm-hmm. Right. You have an infinite array of apocalypse to view. Right. And I'm starting to think that it's starting to have an effect on people. It's starting to make them believe that the end is near and that they need to enjoy these pleasures and luxuries while they're still around.
Well, you know, that's what Satanism, right? It's the immediate gratification of the physical in the here and the right now to the detriment of everything else around you, even yourself down the road in the very near future. That's actually the definition of Satanism.
It seems to be a great inversion of everything that, you know, honorable moral principles would teach you. And this is why I like Mark Passio so much, because he's really kind of laid down in such a succinct manner the way in which our moral obligations are probably one of the most important instincts that we have, and we ignore them at our peril because, as you say, it leads to our own destruction.
Ultimately, it can't lead to anything else.
I'm beyond getting, shall we say, bogged down by the truth at this point. To me, I've become incredibly fucking cynical, right? I assume the worst. 90% of the time, I'm correct. And the other 10% of the time, it's because it's worse than I could possibly imagine.
Nice. Yeah, isn't that the truth? Oh, man. Well, actually, geez. As we both know, I've been a little out of touch for a while there with my little stint in jail for 16 months for nothing. And working pretty hard to rebuild my life since I got out. And I didn't actually even know that American Freedom Radio was still around. I don't get online very much anymore. I'm so busy. And these media platforms really do need more support, and they need to grow, and they need to expand. And we need to have our own version of YouTube, because, again, I simply don't trust a system that we didn't build and can turn us off at the flick of a switch because they don't like what we have to say. That's the ultimate in political repression. And that's what happens when we have our faith in a system like the one that exists right now. We should know better. We should know better, and we should be planning in advance.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, please go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and pledge your support today. There will also be a number on the website where you can call in and you can put in your credit card details via phone to donate that into the PayPal account. Let's just face facts here. Freedom of speech in every way, shape, and form is kind of under attack, and freedom of thought with it. Sooner or later, you won't be able to say what you think, and then soon after that, you won't be able to think at all.
Fuck, we're there.
No, we can say what we think. It's just the problem is we sometimes get censored for it, because I say what I think in front of my friends and my family and all of that kind of thing, but one day you won't be able to anymore, like, at all. It'll be actually too dangerous, and you'll have to meet privately and that kind of thing. That's what I really am quite concerned about. And I found whenever there's some form of repressor in my life, you have to escape from that repressor. It's the only way. You have to get away from them, and you have to take your own power back and stop giving it to them. And the independence that American Freedom Radio puts out, the fact that there is no taboo topics, there is no FCC regulations, there is no restrictions on what we can do or say on this network, it seems sort of like a very rare commodity, even in the online radio market. So again, ladies and gentlemen, please go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and donate, because it is that important. And if we don't support the things that we want to see grow, they will wither and they will die, just like a plant.
Well, and that's the whole thing. I mean, I've got my website that we've got up and running now that for a while now, we've had to rebuild it once, software issues, some other stuff went on, and we were public for a little while. And this is why I'm saying, like, you, in my opinion, we're already at the point where you can't speak your mind anymore and say what you just want to say and get it off your chest. Because even though they might not directly attack you, they've done nothing for more than 2 months now but attack the website 24 hours a day with nonstop traffic being redirected through our site and attempted denial of server attacks and whatnot. So we've actually had to take my website off the public side of the internet. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore publicly. You can't even find us online anymore except for our join-up page, because we've had to put up a firewall that blocks everybody but approved IPs. So it's already gotten to that point now where you say you have to meet in private rooms and meet in private groups and private homes. Well, we had to make our website private because basically we can't even be operating out in the public without being attacked nonstop. Just nonstop.
So this is one of the times where it's the 10% of the time where it's worse than I could have possibly imagined.
Probably, yeah, because again, online, it's just if you try to make a rallying point of any kind or form a union of any kind, You're basically just going to make yourself a target for destruction. It's probably okay for now if we still have radio stations where we preach to the masses because they know that most people won't do fuck all anyways. But the minute you put a flag in the sand somewhere in the ground and you say, no, this is where we're going to get together and start doing something, well, no, that you are under attack. It's nonstop. And more than just shills and other people that are just waiting for your demise so that they can rejoice and, you know, dance around naked and pour blood all over themselves while they eat a steak. It's you're making yourself a pretty big target for the powers that that used to be as well. So that it is a bit of a problem.
Leadership for the good of others is usually premonition plus self-sacrifice, isn't it? You kind of have to give up everything in order to help other people, and that's what a lot of people don't really get about this, is that it's not something that rewards you back directly. It's something that rewards you back indirectly. Okay, the old way of doing something is, you know, you take out a loan and you pay back the money, and then both of you got nowhere. All right, the new way of doing things is you do a hell of a lot for everybody that you can, and in some way, shape, or form, whenever you're in your time and need, everything that you need will turn up for you.
Yeah, well, that's the whole the concept of, you know, karma, putting the good out there for, and without even expecting something to ever come back your way for just doing something good. You just do it, you just throw it out there, and who cares whatever comes back. So simple little things like, even though I really don't support or finance even coffee chains anymore, I don't drink coffee, I don't do any of that kind of stuff anymore, but you know, I used to do little random kind of things when I lived in Alberta in Canada here, and I would just be at Tim Hortons in the morning getting a coffee, and I would just randomly pay for somebody else's coffee, the guy behind me or something like that. You know, just here's an extra $2, lady working there, and say, hey, buy this guy's coffee behind me, and you leave. You know, you're not waiting around for the guy to shake your hand or say thank you or anything else. You just kind of brighten somebody's day, and they just kind of went, holy shit,
People don't get it. It comes out of the blue because they lost faith in humanity, right? Losing faith in humanity takes a long time, a lot of disappointment, right? But restoring people's faith in humanity is instantaneous. It's just doing one nice thing at one point when somebody doesn't even expect it. It suddenly restores their faith. It's weird, isn't it?
Yes. And then that makes them, and then they realize, hey, that actually felt kind of nice to somebody who just did a random act of kindness for me. Maybe I should try that sometime. No, I'm not saying that, you know, probably more times out of not, you know, that's not the case. They're like, ha, oh, hee, you know, rub their hands together. Oh, I'm up $2 today. Fuck yeah. You know, where's my next victim kind of thing? I have no idea, but try.
Between 1% and 4% of the population are like that, you know, psychopaths. You know? But I don't think it was likely that guy would be one of those, you know, I mean, just statistically speaking. I think,
well,
here's another thing as well. Speaking of psychos, my God, there's a hell of a lot of them in the truth movement trying to co-opt people and bring people into the fold and then betray the people they work with and this kind of thing. It's just like, and the audience misunderstands. It comes across like infighting. They think that's what it is, but it's not. There's actually some really bad people who are masquerading as patriots and truthers and things of this nature, who are basically just manipulating you, all right? They want you to think it's just infighting. They want you to think it's he said, she said bullshit, but it's not. There's real evidence. There's real scumbaggery kind of thing. Just be aware of it, understand that that's a possibility, then you'll start seeing it for what it is.
Well, yeah, and it's like there's other groups out there that think they're in competition with some of us. Like we have, like it's a competing group of freedom. Like, ah, no, like we, our freedom group is better than yours, and we're gonna have better freedom. Like I don't even know what the hell they're.
I'm gonna have competing,
right? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, like so, it's a competition, right? And it's you know, and if not enough people go to their new page or whatnot, I guess, and they come along to your group or whatever, and they start talking bad about you or start making shit up, and they start just trying to agitate and cause problems, and so that's what I see a lot of the infighting being, is a lot of that nonsense going on, which I don't even address that stuff anymore. Like I used to think, you know, you had to fight with, you know, like get into an argument with everybody and turn them, you know, to see your viewpoint and know, like at some point I'm going to make this guy understand, you know. No, it's just no, just get the message out there and just wait for the people that get it to come back.
I mean, sometimes that's actually a unique problem to somebody who has an audience or a following, because you simply do not have time to give to everybody. If you're an ordinary person, there's just only a few people in your life, and you know somebody strikes up a conversation in the supermarket, you've got the time to talk to them. You know, you don't have literally a million people to talk to. but it seems to me, I'm just like flippant at the moment. You get one, an abusive comment or something like that. Constructive criticism I love, because it actually helps me to improve the show. But any of the abuse or lies or defamation or anything like that, instant block, kabump, and the scum is gone.
And then, and of course, then they try to fall back on, you know, like, oh, he doesn't even want to debate me because he knows I'm wrong. He knows I'm intellectually superior, so he had to block me to shut me up. So that's almost like a little win for them in some way. Or they take it to be a win that you won't even speak to them. Therefore, you know, they automatically are far smarter than you, and you just can't deal with them, kind of thing. When really they're actually just retards, and I'm so fucking sick of dealing with morons that I just don't even want to speak to them anymore. There's no point. Just go away. Get out of here. There's no, I don't want you around here. Like if I had a party at my house and there's some guy being an asshole at my party and talking shit and telling me I'm a scumbag and a liar, like I got to sit down and talk to this guy for an hour and convince him I'm not a scumbag or a liar. Like that's, and if I don't and I just kick him out of my house, then clearly he was right, because I had to just kick him out and I couldn't deal with him, you know, by appealing to his incredible intellectual prowess. It's just absurd. No, you're going to talk shit about me in my house. Get the fuck out of here. It only takes one asshole to ruin a party. You're that asshole. You're gone. I don't need to convince you of anything. Leave. No one wants you around. You suck. You're just a not nice person. Go away.
You know, actually, I've been to quite a few parties where you wish the host was as upfront as that and just go, hey, bro, I know we've been friends for years and everything, but you're ruining the party because you're an asshole. Can you, like, maybe you're going to think about, I don't know, having a few more drinks and driving home.
Nice. That's exactly it. Yeah, just be honest with people. Just say, yeah, you know what? You're a bit of a jerk. So think about how much better this world would be if everybody was just more upfront with one another. And, yeah, maybe okay. Maybe you'd be a little diplomatic about it if you want to. Use a little bit of tact. But for the most part, you know, quit stroking people's egos just to avoid conflict or confrontation.
I mean,
controversy.
Generally, it's kind of like this. Some people just need to have had a polite word with, and they'll pull their head in. Some people just need to be kicked out, all right? You know, it's just like, sorry, you're out of my circle of friends, bro. I really can't trust you, really can't put up with you. I mean, maybe you'll change later on in life and you can contact me then or something, if you manage to, you know, find an exorcist and get rid of this demon out of you so that you spew bile forth like a protoplasm, plasma sprinkler. So just go ahead, go do that, have the ceremony, take the holy water, And just leave me the fuck alone.
Yes. Yep. So,
there's only two types of people in this world. Those who want to be left alone and those who won't fucking leave you alone.
Ah, my money line. Oh, I love it. I started saying that about 6 years ago, I think, on online, and I'm glad to see that's still out there and around, because that's exactly it. Anytime people try to break down personalities with me, and this is, oh, you're this type of person, or you're that type of person, you're a whatever personality, you know, all those psychological babble bullshit things that they've got out there that tell people what kind of a person they are, and you're this type of a personality. No, there is only two types of people on this planet. There are two personalities. There are exactly two personalities on this planet. Everything else fits into those two categories. You're either someone who just wants to be left alone, or you are somebody who will not leave those people alone. You're one of the two, and that's fucking it. And everything after that, I don't care about it.
And that means that the people who won't leave you alone are a very, very small, tiny minority. The problem is they've got a shockingly large amount of wealth, power, and the monopoly of force.
And fawning sycophants that are willing to do their bidding.
Fawning sycophants. Now, I also wonder about this, the dehumanization aspect. When people wake up to the truth and they realize that most things are a lie and that kind of thing, instead of pointing the finger squarely at those responsible, the brainwashers, the mind controllers, the advertisers, and the marketers who should hang themselves
The messenger. It's right at us.
They instead turn into these... They basically become quasi New World Order advocates by essentially looking down on the general population in such a way as if they can never recover, as if they're just slaves, as if they're dead already. They're never going to be able to accomplish anything in their life, and it's a lost hope thing. Now, there's an element of that that is absolutely true. Sure, it's certainly not carte blanche to say that everybody who is ever going to awaken has already been awakened already is just a flat denial of reality, in my opinion. What's happening in society, I think, today is a competition between the brainwashers and the brainwashed. The brainwashers are trying to, you know, layer on lie after spectacle to distract people from who they really are and to craft them into something that they're not. The brainwashed people, on the other hand, are much like any computer system. Sometimes the program's just out of date. It doesn't work. It can't infect the system correctly enough. We become ghosts in the machine. We become like a glitch. And the rest of your life as a glitch means you don't really have any part in the machine. And that the machine has to change in order for you to find your place.
Well, that's what the machine is, right? The machine itself, because you become a component of a machine when you become a citizen of these corporate governments. You're just a cog in the machine now. You have no individuality. Individuality is erased by citizenship. You are just part of the corporate ship now. And no, so you that's why you can't comprehend freedom or what it means to do something for yourself, because you're not allowed to do something for yourself. You belong to an incorporated collective where everything you do has to be for the greater good of that corporate collective. So that's the problem right there. That's what we've been trying to wake people up to. I don't know, maybe if it's the sad reality that maybe people are just so dumbed down these days that they're not even capable of comprehending some of these subjects, or maybe they just don't care, or maybe they're happy being a cog, which is fine by me. Okay, go ahead, be a cog, be a little piece of that machine over there. But don't come over here and tell me what to do with my life just because you're a cog. Don't say, well, if I got to be a cog, you got to be a cog. No, go enjoy your life, be a cog, I don't care. But as soon as you start being part of a machine that's trying to run over my life because you won't leave me alone, we're going to have a problem. And brainwashing or no brainwashing, I don't care. You should know better.
How do you know if you're under mind control? If you've never questioned whether or not you're under mind control, you know?
That's a pretty good test, actually. I never really thought about that.
Exactly. We're all under some kind of subtle mind control. This is something that came to mind when I was watching Fritz Springmeier, because I asked him to talk about something he doesn't normally talk about. He normally talks about like the actual mind control programs and how they create individuals and this kind of thing. But I asked him to talk about just the generalized stuff that we're all exposed to. And I realized during the course of that broadcast that these things that he's talking about, the symptoms of the mass media mind control and everything, I was exhibiting them. And it started to make me think, whoa, this stuff is really sneaky. even though I've been thinking about mind control and scumbaggery and the influences of it for 8 years, I still hadn't cottoned on to the fact that I was still under its control to a degree.
I like that. And actually, what's interesting, I'd say after about 8 to 10 years of doing this myself, and it just seemed like there wasn't many people out there at all that were waking up. This is going back 6-7 years now. I remember waking up specifically several mornings in a row and having to phone a friend of mine that was way out in British Columbia at the time and just saying, dude, is it us? Are we fucking crazy? Like, is there something wrong with us that we think there's something wrong going on? Like, or is it like, have we lost touch with reality? Have I lost touch with reality? And I think that's probably a very healthy sign that you actually even think that. Because you almost have to question, yeah, like, is it like it can't be just me. It can't be just me. So there must be something wrong with me then. And fortunately, there wasn't. And now everybody is starting to wake up because we got a lot more, we can talk to a lot more people online. But there's no question that it's very healthy to actually think that way and to question your own sanity at times or whether or not you've lost your grip on reality or you're just maybe, you know, knucking futs. I have no idea.
Well, it's really interesting. Insane people don't question whether or not they're insane. They just live their life, okay?
In bliss.
Now, it's all the people who get called crazy by the general public are the ones who question their own sanity. The general public doesn't. Now, what this means is that we literally are now living in an insane world, okay? We have insane ideals, we have insane expectations, and we have an insane grasp of authority and an insane grasp of what earning potential is, right? Having to actually work for a living. How many bankers get up in the morning and work till they're sweaty and they reek, you know? Bro, they just don't, okay? They don't know what real work is. That's why they don't care about people who actually have to work for a living. Now, work is a whole bunch of different things. You can work with your mind, you can work with your hands. Both are pretty exhausting. But the point is, everybody's got to work. That saying I actually hold true. It depends what you're working on, what you're working for, and who you're working for. Are you working for yourself? Are you working for somebody else? Are you working on something that is really meaningful? Are you working on something that's going to last? Are you working on something you can be proud of? Are you working on something that shows true original craftsmanship?
Yep. And do you feel accomplished at the end of the day? At the end of the day, do you leave wherever it was you were just working for the day feeling a deep sense of accomplishment, like you just accomplished something that's of benefit of some kind that is going to help you, help somebody somewhere, is going to make the world a better place? Maybe, like, is that something that's on anybody's mind when they leave their job at the end of the day? If people answer no to that, then they should not be where they are. They shouldn't be doing the work that they're doing at all. You should find something that does make you feel accomplished in life every day, not just oh, well, you know, at the end of this 6 months when I get done this contract, something will be done and then I can feel accomplished. No, when I leave my job site at the end of the day and I look at everything I did that day on the construction site, I feel accomplished. You know, did I accomplish a lot here today? Yeah, I feel like I did a good job today here. I got some serious stuff accomplished. Or, you know, oh, there's some setbacks, so I don't feel quite, you know, like I accomplished what I wanted to today, but I still feel like I accomplished something good, something that's going to do something somewhere. And that's far better than any paycheck anyways. The paycheck should just be a benefit after that. But I will correct you that I guarantee you there are a lot of bankers that actually do go home sometimes sweaty and tired from a long day's hard work, but that's usually by about 4 o'clock in the morning after they're done snorting a half a pound of cocaine and fucking a bunch of prostitutes. But that's not really related to their job. That's more of the after kind of party.
Well, you know, you got two choices in this life. You either find your position in the workforce or you find your place in the world.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you may have noticed I don't have a whole lot of... God damn it. Every single form of institution that I ever once respected at some point in time, I've suddenly lost faith in, right? Like, I used to respect the institution of school because I thought it would make me smarter and I used to be good at it, and then I realized that it actually just dumbed me down and it made me worse at everything, including being myself. You know, I used to think that work was something, you know, you got your earning potential and you're working hard and you're doing a good job and that kind of thing. And then I wound up that when I was better at working than everybody else, I get fired because the boss didn't like the fact that I was better at doing his job than he was.
Yeah.
You know, and university, it's like, oh, wow, we're going to teach you critical thinking. And then only then do I realize that they only teach you how to be critical of the people who can still think despite being educated at university. And that it just gets worse and worse. Almost every single form of mass entertainment, like sports games, movies, television shows, video games, Xbox, PS2, your iPhone apps and all of that kind of stuff. I'm not even involved in it anymore. You know, it's like, I don't care. There's a massive spectrum of shit that doesn't matter. And I'm trying systematically to exit out of my life so that my life can matter more by doing things that are important rather than distracting myself with things that are provided for me by mind controllers who have subtle advertising and subliminal messages and that shit that will turn me into a crazy person as if I don't have enough problem with that already.
Yeah, well, it's maddening. It just gets worse and worse. And geez, I don't know. The more you point out just how absurd this stuff is to people. So I don't know. Where are we going with this all, Vin?
I think we need to get a new society up and running. The problem is, how do we get there, and what's it going to look like once it's set up? Because everyone talking about, oh, we need to have evolution, we need to have evolution, as if they never looked in a dictionary. Oh, what does revolution mean? Oh, it means to go in a fucking circle, you dipshit. You know, I just want to like go around a protest banner, you know, a big giant sign that says go in a circle, go in a circle, you know.
Yep.
With a V for Vendetta mask on or something like that. Dude, there's not going to be a revolution, okay? Nope. And if there is, it's not going to be televised. It's not going to be on Instagram. It's not going to be on fucking Facebook. It's not going to be, you know, mailed out to your P.O. box or anything like that. You've got to be out there. You've got to be in it. You've got to be part of it. The revolution is basically inside of each and every single one of us, right? And that's the kind of society that I want to see. I want to see a society where everybody has a purpose that they've chosen for themselves, right? And nobody forced them into, nobody brainwashed them into it. You just exert people with a whole bunch of different interesting influences, and you let them pick what they want to do with their life. After they've had some actual life experience and gotten to, you know, develop their frontal lobes or something like that, and then become the most fulfilling creative potential that they could possibly be.
Well, again, that's living the new society. You know, you don't take to the streets and march and try to tear down the old. You put all your energy into just being the new. Just be it. Just lead by example. I don't care what you want to call it. You just be what we want to see the new to become. And that's what we're trying to get across to people. And, you know, a lot of people are also, you know, very negative. They're like, oh, no, well, you know, this new society, you know, we can't use anything from the old society. You know, like if you're using their currency is all evil and you can't use their money. We have to start right from scratch and start using fucking rocks or pebbles or something. I have no idea. Just the stupid shit that some of these people come up with that, you know, that, oh, I'm clearly a shill because I'm asking for fiat debt notes again that have no value, but they use every day to buy groceries and buy stuff at the store. But apparently, you know, they have no value in a new society because I can't go buy land with it or something like that. It's just some of the stupid shit that's online. It gets worse and worse every day. And like another group that just contacted, or they didn't really contact me, but they were just kind of like ridiculing us online, just saying, oh, well, we've already got our own new currency and, you know, this is what we're doing and we're so much better than you because we've got our own new currency. And you just want to ask these people like, oh, okay, so you can go buy a piece of land with this new currency, the whatever you people have invented, your new online currency that's only good within your group that you've created. You can go down, you can buy a chunk of land with that somewhere, can you? Okay, well, as soon as you can buy even a sub from Subway with it, or a hamburger somewhere, or I don't a piece of bubble gum, if somebody somewhere on this planet accepts your new private currency that's only good within your group, accepts that as payment for a piece of bubble gum, I will actually be the first person in line to congratulate you. Until then, these idiotic notions that people have are not going to help anything, and they're preventing progress. They're stagnating things, and they're just trying to be like, pretentious and look smart and look all like, oh, look, you know, we're doing all these great things. We've got a whole new currency of our own. And unless you have your own new currency, you're not really creating a new society and this other dumb shit. And it's like, oh my God, you guys, like, just fucking whatever. Fine. Go do your own thing then. But don't come around here and shit on my parade just because you think you have a better idea. Fine. Go do it. You got a better idea? Fine. Go do it. If it was better, you'd be doing it and everybody would be supporting it. But since it's not, you got to come to my page, you got to come to my group, and you got to shit on us to try to make yourselves look better because nobody thinks it's a better idea. Otherwise, they'd already be over there supporting you. So it gets infuriating at times. And I think that's maybe better why we're just, if we're going to build these groups, maybe we should just do it privately anyways. I don't know.
Well, it's also a thing about like thinning the herd and the flock and that kind of thing. Finding out who's actually, have you noticed that finding out who somebody really is takes a lot of time and it's not easy, right? And sometimes you can get into relationships, business deals with those people, and you don't know who they really are yet. And then it turns out that they're not the right kind of person at all, and you wind up regretting it, and then it kind of like sours you, right? Like you don't want to take on anybody else or anything like that because you know that there's an inherent possibility that that could happen again, right?
Yeah, and jaded.
Maybe you become jaded. Maybe that's the point behind these people's actions. Maybe there's kind of like a generalized desire to see good people who could probably use a lot of help and destroy their faith that anybody can help them.
Oh, destroying faith in humanity. Okay, that's high on their list. I could see that.
What is that then? And how, and even if you know that it's true, see, this is the other thing about communicating, especially communicating via social media. You often don't know who you're talking to. These conversations can ensue. There's very little protection from people initially getting in contact with you. You know, like somebody can just send a abusive message out of the blue or pop one onto the YouTube comment section, something like that. So you want to ignore those and you want to block those, but it doesn't change the fact that you have to eventually read it to identify, right? I mean, those people are easy to identify, but the fact is you still have to keep reading those comments and blocking them one by one by one by one, and there's a billion of them, all right?
Yep.
You'll never block them all. You'll never keep all the scum out of your life, so it becomes a constant routine, like weeding a garden. And I really hate things like cleaning, for example. Sometimes it really pisses me off because I know that it's just going to get dirty again.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, what's funny about that is a couple of times now I've blocked a couple different people that actually came back with a whole new fake account and fake profile on Facebook. And it didn't take me long based on how they were talking and how they were posting for me to realize, oh, this is that idiot again. He just made a new profile for himself with a new email and stuff like that, which is actually a violation of Facebook rules and procedures and all that kind of stuff. They can be banned for life just for doing that. So they try to hide who they are. Like, so you're talking about trying to find out who people, sometimes you don't know who people are at first. It takes you a while to get to know them. But these trolls and these shills and these people that we're up against, they're always hiding their identity. And I always want to know, how could they feel like what they're doing is morally justified or right or what they're doing is good in any way if they have to conceal who they are, they have to hide who they are, and they have to use covet means and deceit to try to accomplish any of their goals? How could they possibly have anything good come of that? And, you know, like, and then you'll get a private message from that person like, oh, ha, ha, you know, you figured out it was me kind of thing. Ha, you know, stupid, I had you going, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, what are you talking about? Like, what is wrong with you? You think you scored some kind of a victory in some way because it took me a couple of days to find out that you were that same idiot I already banned once before. And you're like, ha, I fooled you for a couple of days, but it's really me. Like, why would anybody even do that? I don't get it.
Well, the problem with people that have a conscience is that they mistakenly believe that everybody else is like them and would only do things for moralistic and conscionable reasons. The fact of the matter is basically precisely the opposite. There are people who do not think like you, who will not act upon morals, who have other, more sinister agendas. Don't feel guilt. Don't feel shame. Just like a predator, enjoying the thrill of the hunt. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Please don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
American Freedom Radio is back. We're trying to become commercial free, apart from a few honourable advertisers that we would give ad space to even if they couldn't pay us. In this quest to deliver quality radio with very few annoying ads, we are now asking the listeners like you to open up and become partners with American Freedom Radio. We all know the economy is controlled, and a new system called the peer-to-peer economy is now within our grasp. That means if you'd like this network with its incredible hosts and credible information to be nothing but the content you want to hear, then you must realize that you cannot be a part of it if you're just sitting on the sidelines watching. Go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and pledge your support today. Donate according to your means. Some can only afford $1 a month, while others can afford $100 a month. Regardless of the size of your contribution, it all adds up to keeping the network owners and the radio hosts housed and fed at the end of every month. Thank you.
We are living in a new era. Partnerships are more important than profit, and gratitude is more respected than greed. As the millennial generation evolves the corporate landscape, our company aims to maximize the achievements of CBD application and push the limits of what's possible by 2020. Our core product matrix and careful cannabidiol purification process are uniquely designed to be privately made in different regions of the world and is geared to assist the efforts of different nations to change the landscape, various pain-related healthcare costs, epilepsy and autism, rising mental disorders, and even soldier suicides. Crystal Pure CBD is made with the industry's finest 99.9% pure CBD crystals. No paste, no filler. Our solution is a permanent answer, and it saves you over one-third in cost. Crystal Pure CBD. Come join us.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Vaccine, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse. It's hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's the lighter side of genocide. Cause in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you go freaking nuts.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. This is the American Freedom Radio Marathon that you are listening to, and thank you very much for doing so. American Freedom Radio needs your support to expand and grow the operation and bring the light of truth to more and more people and those burning ears around the world that kind of hear something kind of wrong. They don't know where they heard it. They can't even identify it, but they know that something's wrong, and it's slowly driving them fucking crazy. And they need to listen to American Freedom Radio. Because the reason why you're feeling crazy is because you're not listening to other people who are just as quote-unquote crazy as you, who are telling you all the things that you already thought were true, but you had no validation for them. Because everybody else in your circle of friends and your family thinks you're nuts. Well, you're not nuts. You're sane. They're just brainwashed. It's not their fault. No more than it's the fault of a rabbit from getting shot in the head by a farmer. Okay? They're just up against a weaponized system that controls their minds. And it still controls yours. And it still controls mine. Only to lesser degrees once you realize that there is a program running. So please, go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, make a big, fat donation today. Today! It would be really, really nice. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you all for listening. My very special guest is Dean Clifford. Welcome back. We wanted to get out of this sort of negative territory to a bit. But is it that easy? Can you just gloss over, you know, the general pain and frustration and annoyance of what it is to try to be doing the right thing and also be accessible to a worldwide audience? It comes with its own challenges, and sometimes the audience doesn't realize that the people that they look up to, that they're listening to and everything, are real people going through real hard times, sometimes just like you are. And we also need your help, and sometimes just understanding. You know, it's really nice when you realize that there's people who actually get what you're going through, and they understand. Dean, welcome back.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's all right. I don't know. Just been feeling the frustration of the world to a large degree. It's kind of what happens when you lose your life's work and it's the fault of some, you know, dickwad.
Yeah, well, I think that's why our life's work always needs to be more directly in our control instead of reliant on a system that can just flick a switch and take our life's work away from us in the first place. I think that's actually what we're really all fighting for. And actually, I think we were just talking about that, about the people that like to celebrate the mind control, all the mind control. I just want to share with you what happened this last week when on November 5th, everybody paying attention to anything going on with me was under the assumption I was going to a sentencing hearing on November 5th where I was probably going to jail for 20 years or whatever other ludicrous fucking stupid things that people have concocted online. And I was at this hearing and they had a whole bunch of law students there on this day. It's the first day I've ever seen law students yet anywhere around a courthouse when I'm there. And they brought them all down for what they thought was going to be a sentencing hearing, which basically means they brought everybody out for the hanging. The next generation of their lying sleazeball lawyers, the fawning sycophants that just, you know, bow to their lord when they're leaving the courtroom, they were all brought out to witness a hanging. A hanging. It's going to be a hanging. You know,
oh, Master, I want to see you punish the unbeliever with your dark power.
This is what happens when you dare question what we're telling you authority is. Come out and see the hanging. This is what happens to anybody who even attempts to do something right or speak up or, you know, try to fix shit around here, clean or whatever the hell it is.
This is what we do to them runaway slaves on this here plantation.
There you go. So yeah, they were all brought out for the hanging. It was fucking hilarious, man. And so we were, of course, ridiculing them before court even got going, right? Because their teacher's like, now when court's in session, if you have to get up and leave and go to the bathroom, then we have to face the court and we bow and then we walk backwards until we're at the door and then we fucking, you know, whatever, masturbate all over ourselves and blah, 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 just to, you know, they're telling the students what to do. And I look over and I start laughing. I said, yeah. I said, you make sure you bow to your lord. Don't you dare leave this room until you've finished bowing to your lord. Right? We're just making fun of them. And it's great, though, now because, well, obviously I had more people out for me than we did for them, and we're all chuckling and making fun of it and laughing. And we had some new people out. There's a lot of new people, a lot of great things going on right now. But just to enforce in people's brains that, you know, come watch a hanging. Come watch a free man get hung. That's what happens when you try to stand up for yourself. You don't want to be like that, do you? Come watch the hanging. We'll show you what happens when you try to stand up for yourself. It's so predictable and fucking sad. It's just sad and pathetic at this point now. And it's so easy to see through it all. And I like waking people up to that now, too. I guarantee a few of those law students, too, because right after the hearing, too, a classroom of 40 of them showed up outside the courtroom. And the teacher went in and comes back out, and then I can hear some of the students, and they're all like, oh, it's over. Oh, well, what happened? Is he in jail now? And I'm standing right there, and I'm laughing, and I yell over. I go, no, he's free because he proved that the courts were completely fraudulent. These aren't real courts. They're all kangaroo courts, and they only apply to citizens who have forfeited all property to the state. And you can see them all kind of like what the hell? Like, what's going on? And I started laughing. I said, yeah, it turns out he read the Citizenship Act, and it says right in there that you forfeit all property to Her Majesty when you become a citizen. So he took the stand and testified that he never willingly and knowingly became a citizen in his life and forfeited all property. So they had to let him go. And they're all looking at each other like, what the hell's going on? I said, yeah. I said, the Dean Clifford School of Law is opening soon. I said, you guys would be better off signing up there. It's better than the shit university you go to now. And then I walked away through them all when I was leaving the courthouse or whatnot. But I got, you know, how many of them do you think are questioning maybe some of the stuff that they're told right now?
Maybe a few. There'd probably be the vast. It's always only the one or the two that you get through to. And I found that's it, isn't it? Somebody else who's just on that cusp, who was it that told me this? Dr. Rima Labor, it's the seventh man syndrome. One person tells you something contrary to your popular belief, fuck off, fuck off. You know, two, three, four, once it gets up to seven, when seven different people at different times in your life come up to you and tell you something that's completely contrary to your current belief structure, that's when you start to accept that you're wrong.
Well, if it takes, holy man, we're going to be here for a while if it's going to take that many people to get everybody to start listening.
Well, luckily it only takes a small percentage of the population to overthrow the current governing classes. Every revolution in history has done before, but what hasn't happened before is have a technological grid surveilling and keeping tabs on absolutely everybody, everywhere, at all times. So a global revolution, that's never happened before. A sustained revolution that actually creates a society that doesn't become corrupted by tyranny, that's never been done before either. So I think it's going to be maybe one by one domino effect revolutions that'll happen in individual countries, and those revolutions won't be led by individuals, they'll be inspired by them.
Ideas are going to be leaderless ideas, and I think that's brilliant to bring that up, because I do see that being the way things go. Because yeah, again, revolutions just don't happen anymore. Revolution's not even the proper word for it anyways. We evolve as a people, it's what we do, but I think it's going to wind up being constant pressure from a new group, a new society trying to emerge from the old. It's just like it's just going to be a constant pressure that's applied to an old system that's constantly pushing back, trying to fight that evolution back. So there's not, and it's just eventually we're just going to emerge, and we're just going to become something new, different, that we don't need the old system for anymore, and that's how our evolution is going to happen. And I think that's happening now as we swell within our ranks and with our numbers. That's the way I see things going.
I also think that numbers are sort of like a double-edged sword. Like the more numbers you need and that kind of thing, it's, yeah. Again, you look back through history, it's never been numbers so much that have brought things into fruition. It's always been, you know, iconic individuals who inspired others to act. But I don't know even if the others even need to act. I don't even know what place everybody has to play in this whole grand scheme of trying to free the human race from the shackles of bondage and debt, slavery.
Well, the masses know how bad it is. I didn't talk to one person. We just had this most recent election in Canada. And Justin Trudeau, the savior, is now in because he's going to legalize marijuana, of course, because he owns the company that's supplying all the marijuana to the dispensaries, which are also going to be probably owned and operated by him, and the licensing fees fee that also paid to him. But in this last election leading up to it, everybody I spoke to, I didn't hear one person tell me they were voting because they believe in this system, and they think that that's the best man for the job and is going to lead this, quotation marks, country to a bright future. Everybody was like, I just don't want that other asshole getting back in because of how bad he fucked things up. That's it. That's the extent of people's belief in this system, is that they're like, they're just trying to prevent it from getting worse. That's not a government. That's not a system of governing. That's not a system of voting. That's nothing. That's a group of slaves who are only trying to prevent things from getting worse. And so they're now voting out of fear and desperation. That's sad. That's really how bad things have gotten now. So that's actually a positive, because that means everybody's going to be way more open to change now. They think that they're going to bring the youth into the government now and bring the youth around and want to keep the kids are going to want to stay in the system because, oh, they're legalizing pot. So that'll keep the hippies happy now. They're not going to go out and they're not going to try to change anymore, because as long as they can get their marijuana from our dispensaries, they're happy. They're satiated. So that's now taken care of. And we're just making more money, so this is even better. And that's not going to work. I think that's just going to backfire even more. But we'll see what happens. But the sad reality is that's the state of affairs right now. People are at is the general majority of people are just acting out of desperation to stop things from spiraling even worse.
I generally think that things must get worse. I mean, I'm going through hard times right now, but I'm also going through a period of rapid change and growth and really critical self-analysis simultaneously, right? And I think that's what people need. They need some traumatic suffering. Something that kind of like, if you're in a game environment, you know, in like a digital boxing ring or something like that, and suddenly somebody punches you in the head, you suddenly start playing that game a hell of a lot better, because you suddenly realize that it's not a game anymore, okay? People need that system to punch them in the face really hard to wake them up, all right? See, that's the thing. The system doesn't wake you up gently. It's always massively traumatic. Always.
Yep.
I mean, mate, who do you think you're up against here? Why do you think they've been telling you that they're trying to protect you and care about you the whole time? Because you'd never suspect the fact that they're a bunch of bullies and psychos who will fuck up your life the second you don't want to be under their employ. Okay?
Yep. You don't get warning heart attacks. You get a heart attack. A lifetime of abuse on your body keeps adding up. It keeps adding up. You don't really understand how bad things are with your body until you have a massive heart attack. There's no little warning signs. You don't get like a little, your body saying, hey, dude, I'm going to give you a couple little warning heart attacks here to let you know that there's something big coming. No, there's always something just big. It happens. You're not expecting it. And you either change, you evolve, or you die, or you remain the same, which is actually the same as dying. If you're not always changing and becoming something new and better, you're basically dead. You're just waiting to die. So
choose life. Choose cocaine.
9 out of 10 lawyers do. So it's the way to be.
I can imagine like doing up like a 50s advertisement commercial. 9 out of 10 lawyers recommend good cocaine.
Yeah, that's exactly it, eh? That and that and child pornography. Yeah, 9 out of 10 lawyers recommend this for a happy, meaningful life.
And just have a really relaxed 1950s kind of like sketch artist drawing of a lawyer having a nice relaxing cigarette after he's doing promoting all that cocaine usage and child porn. And he got like,
no, not even,
and he's
not
got
even,
like
just
a little
have him sitting there snorting. Just have him right there down the table snort. Just the same thing though. Just laid back, casual, that 50s motif with the coloring and the sketching and stuff like that. And yeah, just wearing the proper attire and just have him snorting a rail and maybe have a little child porn on in the background or something like that. I don't know.
I think it might be a bit graphic. I was thinking something a little bit more like he's got a cocaine mustache. You know, when somebody drinks a glass of milk and they get a milk mustache.
Yeah, that works. Man, is there any wonder that these people don't like us? I mean, you got to remember, we're up against the Law Society, the Bar Association. That is the problem. That's the monopolization of the law, the monopolization of the courts, the private courts, the lawyers, the politicians, all bowing down to this Bar Association and doing its bidding. That is the target out there, is the Bar Association. There is no bigger target out there that's really controlling things behind the scenes. They try to redirect everybody's attention to everything but them, but that's it. That is it. That's the source of all fucking evil on this planet right now. Jesus got it right. Woe unto ye lawyers. They're your biggest problem. And man, I'll tell you, if you really want to make yourself person non grata in a courtroom, attack all lawyers. Liars. There you go. Freudian slip. Sorry about that. Just go after all lawyers as being cocaine snorting, child molesting pieces of shit, which every single one of them pretty much is. So, and you're not well liked by any lawyer. Defense lawyers, prosecuting attorneys, civil litigants, I don't care who they are. They don't like you.
Well, you can't please everybody.
No shit, eh? Man, Vin, I was in federal court a couple weeks back because I'm helping people now with some stuff, and we've got a bit of a different twist on things now, a bit of a new take that basically is the result of all my research over the years and everything that's worked and figuring out what was actually going on. And they know what we're doing now, and it's the Achilles heel of their entire system, and they can't ever change it. And we went into a courtroom, into federal tax court with a friend of mine, and I was speaking for him. And we walked in there, and court came into session, and I hadn't even spoken yet. Nobody should even know who I was in that courtroom. And the first thing that happened was that judge started yelling at me. I hadn't even fucking spoken yet.
Well, you're not supposed to unless you're spoken to.
yeah, exactly. No shit, eh? Yeah, and that was the first official act of that judge, was to basically start yelling at me and tell me I can't represent this guy and I have to leave right now and I can't speak for him and I'm not a member of the Bar Association and blah, blah, barf, barf, puke, puke, and everything else. It's like, yeah, now, okay, this is the way to collapse their system. And people really have to stop using these fucking lawyers. I'm telling you that right now. But boy, yeah, they really, they tried, oh, well, it disrupts the court because you don't know procedure and you don't know this. And so you need one of our lawyers and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, moo, 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 moo. And it's such garbage and puke. And when they can't convince you with their supreme logic skills and reasoning and appealing to your better judgment and advice and legal advice they're not supposed to be giving you, all this kind of stuff, then they just come right down to basically yelling at you in the courtroom. And this guy was terrified. This judge is already screaming at me, and he's like, oh my God, what's she going to say to me, right? And so I made sure I pointed that out in the record too. I'm like, you're terrifying this guy. He's actually shaking. He doesn't want to fucking get up here and speak ever now. Like, what are you going to do? Kick me out? And now this guy's got to speak for himself with no help? Oh, I'm sure you'll help him out and get him a fucking bar lawyer. Like, my God.
I always thought that court was, well, I mean, the first time I went there, it was because I was in trouble. You know,
you're a bad man.
You know what it felt like to me? It was an old stone courthouse. What it felt like to me is a place where tortured and really unhappy people go to be punished, right? And it's almost like every stone in that place acted like a barrier to prevent that kind of, you know, angst from getting out. So this whole place had an aura around it of just this tension and just not wanting to be there. And I think that that was not only because that was the fact that I was feeling like that, but it looked like a lot of the people who worked there looked really tense and like they'd rather be having a cocktail or a 12-year-old boy, you know?
Zing!
But yeah, man, I don't understand the mentality of anybody who would, you know, willingly participate in that system unless they're under really, strong forms of mind control. And I know I keep beating this dead horse, but mind control's really actually quite simple. Mindless repetition, sleep deprivation, submission to authority, and a silo mentality that ostracizes independent thinkers. Okay?
Yep.
This is the protocol for law school. Show me a lawyer who's qualified, who hasn't had to repeat a whole bunch of shit, who got a hell of a lot of good sleep during that time, who wasn't ostracized if they said something against the status quo, and didn't there have to submit go. to their intellectual superior at their, all times.
Their egos are stroked and they're rewarded for how they act when they're, and that's why they feel comfortable in these courtrooms, because they are rewarded for what they're doing. It's a comfortable place for them. They have no fear of anything ever happening to them in that courtroom. The only thing that could happen to them in that courtroom is getting rewarded for doing a good day's job of lying and sucking little 12-year-old boys' penises. That's the only thing that happens to those lawyers in that courtroom. Of course they're going to be fucking comfortable there. That's where they make their living. They get, their life is fucking paradise according to them, because they get the instant physical gratification of all the joys of life for being a member of that organization. Cocaine, drugs, alcohol, the good times, the good life, sex rings, all these sex rings these judges have been busted being a part of, everything else. Oh, they get the good life. They are well rewarded for what they do in that room. And we're the only ones that are beaten, tortured, kidnapped, and confined, you know, and harmed for ever showing up there. So it's no wonder that we, the other class of people, the people who aren't lawyers, are terrified to go to these fucking buildings. They're torture chambers, just waiting to torture us. That's all it fucking is. And they are the executioners. So why would they ever fucking fear going there or being there?
I mean, yeah, it's like, bro, I'm going to take you to the Tower of London. Well, that doesn't sound good, bro. I mean, you know?
No, it's just a tour. Honestly, it's just a tour. You'll like it.
That's going to be good, bro. We've got popcorn, we've got we've got sugary drink. It's going to be all good. And then I'm just thinking about this other thing, like training animals, right? It's that's kind of what lawyers and judges, doctors, a whole lot of very high qualified people, particularly people in positions of unchecked power and authority. That would mostly include judges, politicians, and lawyers, and family court representatives. And things of this nature, who held high status and are virtually immune from prosecution for all the crimes that they commit. But I was thinking that you were talking before about their motivation to be there, about how they like being there and they get rewarded and that kind of thing. You know, it popped into my mind, bro, this experiment that I watched where they taught pigeons to ring a bell. And every time they would ring the bell, a little seed would drop down and they'd eat it because they thought they'd been rewarded for ringing the bell. But there's just a pigeon that's trapped in a cage, unable to fly.
Yeah, but if No, Vin, if you ring the bell, you get more food. Why would you want to fly?
Exactly.
All I got to do is go ring that little bell and I get food. Look at those fucking stupid pigeons around out there flying around looking for food. I just got to ring this bell and it comes to me. I'm the smartest fucking pigeon who ever lived.
And I did this all by myself. See, I rang the bell. I rang it.
Yeah, be amazed. Stand in awe of my achievement.
Congratulations. You're a lower life form that has learned menial tasks in order to get rewards from it. Okay? Congratulations. You've been fucking domesticated.
Yeah, there you are the pinnacle, the crowning achievement of evolution on this planet. Good for you. We need a little golf clap in the background there about yeah. Way to go, guys. You went to law school for a couple of years. You learned to recite a bunch of shit, and you went to work for a system that rewarded you right or wrong. Doesn't matter. Like, it's not like they actually have to do anything in the courtroom. It's just a facade. So we think something actually happened so they can make it appear like it's legitimate that they kidnap us and torture us when it's all done. They didn't do anything. They didn't do that. That system's already in place. They just had to push a button. And a mallet comes out and smacks somebody in the head, and then they pat themselves in the back saying, yeah, you see that? I did all that. I did that. Look at how good I am. Look at that guy's head is smashed in.
That just reminds me of like a...
You pushed a fucking button. Somebody built a machine, put me in a box, and all you had to do is show up and push a button. My head got smashed in, and you're patting yourself on the back like you're a fucking genius. It's the most pathetic thing ever, and I can't believe that lawyers fall for it. It's unbelievable that you actually think that they're smart or even entertaining in some way.
Well, see, your counterpoint is the court system. My counterpoint are the media commentators and douchebags and fucking scum like that who do exactly the same thing, bro. They read off a fucking teleprompter and go, I'm so important! I did all this important research! You read it off a screen for 12 minutes, cunt! Shut up! You're a fucking parasitical, brainwashing, maniacal scumbag with a penchant for narcissism that has no concept of how terrible your reflection in the mirror is. You could be like fucking Adrian Grey or Dorian Grey or whatever the fucking name is, with absolutely nothing on your face but bone and festering flesh with pus and testicles. But no! You don't have any concept of how fucking useless you are. Oh my god. Oh
they
God.
Believe their own bullshit, man. You just raised an awesome point. I just had to talk about this with a friend the other day where I was talking about the fact that the American politicians at this point, I don't know how deluded they are or whatnot, but at this point, I think the American government and the people that are in there and run the show have actually deluded themselves to the point where they now believe their own bullshit. They actually believe that they have the strongest military in the world. They actually believe they can do anything to anybody, anywhere, and they never do any wrong, and they got nothing to worry about. A decade of efforts were unraveled in 2 days in Syria when Russia sent their military in, and these American politicians they believe their own bullshit at this point. Like there's no everything's fine. There's no problem. We've still got 13 carrier groups and we own half the planet and everybody loves us and our allies. We don't have to ever worry about anything because our allies love us and they're going to protect us if we actually ever had to actually fight a real opponent. Meanwhile, the rest of the planet is actually gathering against them. And they don't see it because they believe their own bullshit that people around the world still believe, the politicians actually believe that people around the world think the United States is still the greatest country on the planet and that they're just, you know, nothing can happen to them. They're invincible. It's mind-blowing what's going on right now. It's like, oh my God, how bad is this going to fucking be? And I can't wait to sit back and watch the show. And when there's 10 of these idiots sitting in a fucking round room somewhere, still believing they run the entire world while everything's collapsed around them, and, you know, there's a guy outside the door just about to kick the door in and shoot them in the fucking head, and they just still don't believe it because they're in a completely different fucking reality altogether. They don't even know what's going on in the world.
Either that or they do, but they're just, you know, psychopaths, so they can lie convincingly. And hey, here's the thing. Sometimes, and I think Sun Tzu talked about this in The Art of War, sometimes it's so much easier to beat an enemy if your enemy thinks that he can't win. Right? If you keep telling everybody we've got all these carrier groups and we've got all this stuff out there, a whole bunch of people will be like scared of them, and they won't check and get divers to go and see that most of the carriers are basically rusting atolls that are floating around with a whole bunch of shark bait on board.
Yeah. Or basically floating coffins that they've been referred to since at least as early as the early 90s by Russia. They refer to those carrier groups as floating coffins because of all the weapons advancements that they've made in missiles and stuff like that. They're like, oh my God, are you kidding? Yeah, good. Send all 13 to one place. That'll just make it easier. They're giant floating coffins.
Dude, the Russians have like these cruise missiles that are aircraft carrier sinker missiles, okay? They've got like dozens of them on each of their freaking subs, okay? They travel along the waterline, okay? At like 1,000 kilometers an hour, like Mach 2 whatever going at.
Well over 3,000 kilometers an hour, actually. I think it's over Mach 3 that they travel at, 15 feet above the water.
So basically, by the time you see it, you're fucked, all right?
Oh, you won't see that. You won't even hear it. You're already done. It's fucked. It's too late.
If you see it, you're still fucked. Right? Yeah. I mean, what are you gonna do, bro? Okay,
and that was 10 or 15 years ago. That was the Onyx cruise missile. I used to keep up with this kind of stuff until I stopped caring. But that's also going back 10 or 15 years now. God knows what they have now, and I'm beyond caring anymore because. You'll go crazy sitting around worrying about this kind of stuff or trying to keep up with what's going on. And that's why I just said, fuck it now. Fuck it. Hey, that might happen. I don't care anymore. If the world blows up tomorrow, whatever. In the meantime, I'm going to plant my garden. I'm going to go and build this little group that I want to build, and we're just going to do our own thing. There's nothing we could do about that anyways, so why even bother worrying about it? And that's why we started the ESC there, the Earth Stewardship Cooperative. That's earthsc.com. And we're relaunching again right away after having to write our own software. I think I was mentioned that earlier, but we've been on a constant attack since we got going, our little rallying point. And the software we bought, we couldn't patch the holes in the software, my computer guys. And so we had to get like a refund on the computer software and say, no, your software is intentionally made with all these security holes in it, so all this spyware and malware and spy bots and everything can get through the back end. We can't patch it up. So we're now writing our own software from scratch for our own new website and forums and stuff like that. And that's all we're concentrating on now. We're just going to do our own thing because that's another thing why I was trying to say we need our own version of YouTube because we can't rely on YouTube. We can't rely on software we buy from anybody. We can't rely on anything from this system without them having checks and balances in place, off switches where they can just pull the plug on anything we're doing because it was all created within their system. We can't be a party to any of that anymore. We really just need to start over, build our own thing, keep our heads down, and just create. Just start creating, not fighting over who's right, who's wrong, who's got a better group, who created a better currency. Just create. Just start doing your own thing. Just build. Create our own new media empire. Why not? That used to happen 100-something years ago. You would just open your own newspaper that competed with that guy's newspaper, right? And now he's, okay, well, you spin your lies. I'm going to start my own newspaper to spin my lies. That's the way it happens. So instead of just trying to publish our articles in their newspapers and hoping that they just decide to not print it, we need our own newspaper so we can get the truth out there. We need our own new systems. We need our own new everything. And all we need is the people out there listening to these shows saying, hey, I'm a coder. I know how to code. I know how to build like a YouTube kind of thing, and getting together in a group and then doing it and just get together everybody and just start doing these things. You don't need guidance. You don't need a leader. You don't need all this kind of stuff.
You don't even need preparation. Just fucking do it.
Just do it. Yeah. We're doing it. I can't do that. You know what's the funniest part about this, Vinny, is that my YouTube accounts and the website and everything, like, I don't touch any of that. I have people that run the entire YouTube account stuff that we do, everything, Twitter, everything. It's all kind of linked together now and is running a lot better now. I don't do any of that. And so these victories that somebody like the Stephen Bates guy claims because he took my channel down because he thinks I've lost all this work, I didn't do any of it. I've been working for the last 6 weeks at my job site making money, and I get an update every other day from the guy that's running the YouTube account to let me know how things are going. And I'm just like, that's fucking awesome, dude. You know, like, thank you. Like, you're doing a fantastic job. You know how to do this. I don't. So my time is better utilized by working construction and building so I can get a paycheck, and then I can use that money to fund all this kind of stuff. Because for me to sit around and figure out how to coordinate all this shit and build YouTube accounts and upload stuff and oh my God, the stuff that was done, it would have taken me months to figure out how to do any of it, but this guy can do it like a matter of hours. So why would I do it? So it's just hilarious that these people think that they're like at war with me, like personally, like it's, I'm going to take that Dean Clifford down and I don't even do any of that stuff. It's fucking hilarious. I think that's the funniest part of this. They think that they're at war with me and they're not, because I'm not even doing that stuff. People volunteer to do that to help us get the word out. So it's comical. I think it's hilarious.
It's still sad for the volunteers, man. I mean, it's like they've put a whole lot of work into that to try and help you, and then it's just been kind of deleted. How are they doing?
Yep. Well, they're basically rebuilding it all now, and it's going to be relaunched with the new website when it's relaunched, and it's all going to be done in a way that they can't do that anymore now. And we're just going to be a lot more careful, and that's why we want to make sure we're coordinating with you to make sure that we're all kind of starting to team up together on these places, these platforms like YouTube and whatnot. We all help each other out. And basically, we're just going to be like, make sure that we have our media all synced up and whatnot so that we're not as easy to attack anymore. We're more of a united front. So there's better ways of doing this all. And every time they try to tear down what we built, fine, we'll just build it better and stronger. And eventually, we're going to build it so much better and so strong that you won't be able to tear it down. And then they are fucked.
You know, actually, this brings me to an important realization. I've been pondering it the last couple of days. Does it mean that every single time you get attacked by some frickin' psycho, all they do is actually wind up making you stronger? They actually work against themselves by attacking people.
That's evolution, Vinny. That's what evolution is. You make me stronger, right? The tree that survives the strongest wind is gonna make the strongest saplings, is gonna have the strongest seeds, and then pretty soon, you know, that's, you got the strongest trees that can stand up. The ones that die and perish from a little bit of hardship, they don't carry on. So all they're really doing is they're creating the strongest adversary possible, and it's now gonna be a matter of who's got the stronger conviction, who's gonna stick around, who's gonna keep fighting me if I just keep coming back better and stronger every time. Who's going to win out? And it's going to be us. It's going to be the people of conviction, the ones that believe in what they're doing, as opposed to these other idiots that just, you know, it's almost like amusing for them maybe. Or, you know, Friday night, you know, he just got done diddling a little kid and he decides he wants to put a bunch of copyright infringements in just to try to take somebody's YouTube account down, which is the equivalent of arson, right? It could take me 3 months to build a house and all it takes is some asshole with a Molotov cocktail to burn it all down. That's just the way life is. That's the way things go. It's way easier to destroy than it is to create. And they are fucking angry that we're taking the path of creation. We want to spend all our time creating, and we don't care if somebody comes along and burns it all down afterwards. We'll just rebuild. That's what we do.
I find I do care, like, if they burn it down, it's a real setback. It's a real problem. But
it is.
But you get to that point where you're kind of like, you ever sat down and you're thinking about why you're depressed, why you're unmotivated, why you're so miserable. And for the first time in a long time, you ask yourself, how long do I want to feel this way? Do I have to keep feeling this way? Do I have to keep doing this? Well, actually, no, I don't. I've got a choice, don't I? I can stop feeling depressed. I can stop being unproductive, and I can just go out and start doing this stuff, right? Now, that realization sometimes takes a while to get to, depending on whatever trauma or loss, etc., that you've gone through. It's a process, like the grief process. It's a process everybody has to kind of go through whenever you had some sort of traumatic instance in your life, to ensure that you're not just blocking out potential important lessons that are happening to you during those times of great hardship.
Yeah. Well, that's and interestingly, I'm a student of a lot of different schools of thought, and I remember years ago reading up on the failed biodome experiments and why biodome failed. And of course, this is relevant because we observe in nature to find out why things are the way they are. And in the first biodome experiment, you know, where they locked themselves into that little dome that they made for supposed to be a couple of years to, you know, be completely cut off from everything in their own little environment. And they were going to observe nature and how it, you know, and see what they could do. And within a matter of months, the new trees that were growing didn't take the, maybe it wasn't months. I think it took a half a year or so or whatnot. But the new trees, they began to sort of sag and bend and break under their own weight. That never happened in nature, and they couldn't figure out why for a while until they realized that it's the wind in nature that makes trees stronger. And without the wind blowing in the tree, without that adversity, without that controversy, the tree just basically dies. It bends and breaks under its own pressure, and it just, you know, it doesn't evolve. It doesn't grow. It doesn't live up to, it doesn't live to its potential. It doesn't become what it should be because those elements of nature that made it strive to live are gone. So when that's all taken away, it dies under its own weight. It just falls apart. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And I thought that was one of the most fascinating things I had ever read in my life. And most of what I do is now based on that. Because I understand that without that controversy, without that adversity, without these people coming against you and trying to destroy you and what you're doing and what you're trying to build, they're not going to help you live up to your potential. They're not going to make you be as strong as you're capable of being. You're going to have the easy road. I don't want the easy road. I want the hardest fucking road there is, because if I make it to the end of that and I survive and I succeed, then I've lived up to my potential. I've become everything that I could possibly be in life. So fucking throw it at me. Let's go. Throw more shit at me, because I'll survive that too. And well, that's the attitude more people should have.
Well, it's a kind of a great big lesson for society, you know, for all of us, because it's now been come down to convenience a lot of the time, and the ease, you know, after work you got to relax, that kind of thing. And without any real adversity and seeking out those kind of challenges, and they're not really coming to your door, and that sense of accomplishment that comes with that resistance, the same thing that happened to those trees in that biodome is happening to society. It's breaking under its own weight.
It excellent. Thank you. It's so excellent when you speak like this and somebody else actually gets what you're saying, and they can apply that same situation to every other aspect of society and understand that that's why this is happening the way it's happening. That's why these things are collapsing under their own, these bloated institutions where no one has to do anything anymore. There's nothing to test it. There's nothing to put some life into it, and it's just collapsing and falling apart at the seams, and they don't know why, and they don't know how to fix it, so they just dump more shit into it, right? Like, and that's the thing. This tree must need more shit. It must need more fertilizer. That's why it's not growing strong. Here, dump some more shit on it. And that's where society's at right now, when they don't realize that, no, it needs some wind in here. It needs something to stir things up, some adversity to, you know, to get people out of their houses and say, I don't want to just go home and sit and get fat and watch TV anymore in the evenings. I need to go out and do something. I need to be productive. I need to live up to my potential. That's gone, and that's why that society is falling apart, and you cannot fix that because people are not motivated. There is no adversity of any kind, and they just want to go home and eat shit and die under their own fucking weight. That's exactly what's happening. 80% of Americans are obese as fuck, and they're dying. They're collapsing under their own weight and dying. And that's it, nature. You cannot violate the laws of nature. It's playing out right in front of us, and they still don't fucking see it. They think they can live a life of luxury, have nothing bad ever happen to them, and their life's going to be great, and they're going to live up to their potential, and they're going to be motivated, and things are going to be great. And nothing could be further from the truth. That is not reality. That is unreality. And the people that buy into it are going to die. They're going to die of cancer. They're going to die of these other horrible diseases. They're just going to die off, and that society is going to fall apart. So really, ultimately, that's already going to happen with or without our help. which is why I've chosen just go and just build my own thing, just do my own thing now, because that segment of civilization doesn't need our help to die. It's doing it. It's doing what nature dictates.
I'm just thinking, like, I had somebody on the show the other day, and I was talking about New Zealand and the rugby and that kind of thing. And he goes, don't worry about it. New Zealanders are just retarded Australians. And I go, not only is it the other way around, but, you know, Americans are just retarded Canadians. And he's like, well, I'm Puerto Rican, man. Well, Puerto Ricans are just retarded Venezuelans.
Nice.
Just at the drop of the hat, right? I was thinking about also the structure of society in terms of how we live our daily lives is the home, okay? Where you live, what your constant environment is, that's the thing that you're going to be exposed to the most, obviously. So what are you putting in your environment, okay? Now, maybe we're really sick, maybe we're really brain dead, because constantly we're surrounded by cell towers and we're living in the cities and that kind of thing. We're getting bathed in this stuff all the time. And science has proven that it fucks you up, you know, even if you can't feel it to a certain degree. So, mate, we're living in a nexus of things that cause stress. And what people do, instead of finding out what it is that causes their stress, they are forced instead to attempt to avoid stress just so that they can live. Now, maybe it's partially a choice, sure, but sometimes you have to be aware that you have a choice first. Most people aren't aware that there is another way. They're not aware because the media doesn't tell them, their authority figures don't tell them, unless somebody in their social circle introduces them to this stuff, just like it did to me when I was in university. Had that person not showed me this presentation by Michael C. Rupert from thewilderness.com called The Truth and Lies of 9/11 about the Bush family crime syndicate and the connections therein, I would have never in a million years awaken to the truth of how this world truly works, or not even come to an inkling of it. It might have put me off. It might have delayed me for a decade or something. And I could be right now a millionaire, but totally stupid. And then I would have gone in to fight the system and suddenly realized that there was something wrong at that point. And then realize that the system isn't there to help me, and I lose my million, and thus have lost 10 whole years of my life, right? So the fact of the matter is, we're all really afraid. I know in social circles and things like that, there is this little bit of social anxiety, because if you're not retarded, you'll notice that a lot of people don't like what you're saying when you tell them the truth. and they'll often give you shit about it. And so if you
want to make a man angry, lie to him. If you want to make a man furious, tell him the truth.
Yep, that sounds about right, isn't it? I remember this one time I went to a film, a dance party, this was years and years ago, and chick asked me what I did for a living, and I go, well, I'm a talk radio show host, and I talk about politics and stuff. And she goes, oh my God, I just laugh at everybody who's into politics. And I was like, right.
That's what... I think it's funny when people ask me sometimes about, they want to get into politics with me and government stuff like that. And I just say, I got sick of them. I just started my own new government. And they think I'm kidding. It's like, no, why is that so preposterous? Why is it a silly idea that I just decided I don't like any of these guys. I'll just start my own government. I have to pick one of these guys and I have to be part of their system. Their system came from somewhere. Someone created it at one point.
All right. People think that this is the measure of a government. You have a destroyer with Tomahawk cruise missiles that can shoot people if they invade your territory. That's what people think a government is, basically. It's the it's the use of force. And
to protect what you believe is yours.
I mean, against people who would take it from you by force, isn't it?
Yep.
But here's the problem. What happens if your government has already been taken over? What if they're already taking everything you own by force? Okay? And what if you don't have any Tomahawk cruise missiles? What are you going to do, bro? What are you going to do?
Yep.
Okay, that's...
What happens when they become the enemy that you thought they were protecting you from?
That's why all the soldiers swear to protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Okay? Yep. And I think they've maybe put the domestic on the end there just so it's the last thing that you remember, because there is domestic terrorists. And give me a break if you think that those terrorists are all wearing scarves and running around going, hey! No. They're wearing suits and Masonic ties. They have cuffs around their wrists and collars around their necks. It's a design feature of all the suits that all of these people wear. It shows that they are property, that they are owned, that they are servants, and that they don't serve you. Okay? They're owned and they're servants to a higher power than them, because they think, mistakenly, that there is a higher power than them, other than a god. Right? Maybe a god is the only thing that eclipses a human being's value, as far as I'm concerned. But the problem is, these people think that a person that they think and worship as a god has the right to decide on people's lives for them, without their consent. No. All right? So you come down to this decision in life, knowing for a fact what will happen if you do nothing. Everybody will be a slave. There'll be so many people who are brain damaged and dumbed down to the point of literally being mentally retarded. That would be the majority of the population. A dumbed down slave class governed over by a ruthless elite who take their children, who can't be prosecuted, who are immune from the law because they created the entire law system. It's almost like that now for everybody. Okay? Right now there's maybe a few exceptions. Right now there's just a veneer, a glossy little advertisement on the side of the highway for how wonderful your government is, but there's just rot underneath. I'm talking about the rot coming out and being visible to the point where the only way to be able to walk down a street and not see scumbaggery everywhere you look is to be wearing the new Windows glasses that put a hologram on top of everything. Okay? You could be walking down a nice, terrible, dark alleyway or something like that, step over a homeless guy, and your hologram thing will just tell her it's a nice little knoll of grass or something like that that's in your path, you know?
Also, now police can watch child porn while they drive around on duty. They don't even have to wait till they get home anymore.
And the cars will drive themselves as well, so they'll have both hands free to masturbate.
Oh, man. So they can just drive around, masturbate with a car that propels itself, watching child porn and snorting cocaine, and the car will take them to the scene of wherever their fat ass is forced to get out and shoot somebody, because they're not even going to know what's going on. The computer will just say, you're to go here. We're driving you here. Okay, get out and shoot that guy. And that's your orders. And they get out and they do it. And then they go right back to masturbating and watching child porn in their car again. That is actually the future of law enforcement. I see that happening. I give it 2 years.
America.
No, it's Marca. Marca.
I thought it was kind of like a little bit more guttural, like Marca.
Yeah, there's no A anymore. It's just Marca. Merca. It's like Mercia back in the day, I guess, maybe, that doesn't exist anymore either. The Kingdom of Mercia. Merca. Merca.
The Kingdom of Mercia. Well, in America, there is no Mercia.
Yeah. Yeah. And people wonder why cops hate me. But it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I'm sure pedophiles hate me as well. I'm sure rapists hate me as well. I'm okay with police hating me as much as I'm okay with rapists, murderers, and pedophiles hating me, because they're all in the same category and quite often one and the same.
My question is, do the cops ever wonder why people hate them? You know? Or is it real obvious and they're like, okay, I know.
I don't know. That's a really good question. You got to wonder, like, what kind of a deluded prick do you have to believe that people respect you in this day and age as a cop? Like, they think it's respect that the average everyday citizen is terrified of these people. That's not respect. They're terrified of you. You know why they're terrified of you? Because you are 90% likely to pull out your gun and shoot that individual for no reason if you're a cop. And they're terrified that they're going to be that 9 out of 10 people that get shot for no fucking reason by a cop. That's not respect. Nobody respects you. Nobody respects police anymore because they've been exposed for what they are. They are not peace officers. They're not out there helping everybody. I'm here to help you. They are there to enforce tyranny. Period.
All right, Dean. I'm sorry. We've come to the end of the hours here. Can you please give out your website for the listeners there?
Well, it's going to be back up probably by the time within the next day or two, I would say. But we've had to relaunch everything. But you can find me at deanclifford.blogspot. So I'm on there. You can find us. That's not a problem. And our main website, the one that we're going to be building and get organizing people to start building a new future is earthsc.com. So it's like Earth, like this Earth, this planet, EarthSC, which stands for Earth Stewardship Cooperative. We're on Facebook. We've also got our own website. You won't find the website online anymore because you have to go to the join up page and you have to be approved through our firewall first.
Sorry, Dame, we're out of time.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
What kind of person are you? How do you see yourself? Are you the kind of person that lets everyone else do all the work, just hoping that you'll be able to get some of the crumbs that fall from the table? Or are you the kind of person that rolls up their sleeves and does the dirty jobs that no one else wants to do? Are you hoping that all the activists giving their blood, sweat, and tears to serve humanity are going to solve all the world's problems? Or are you just wondering, is there something simple I can do to contribute? Yes. Yes, there is. Help us. Help us do what we do. Partner up with American Freedom Radio today by gifting a regular amount to support the network and your favorite hosts, bringing you less commercials and more information. Go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and start donating today from between $1 and $100 per month, according to the kind of person you are. Thank you very much for your support.
We are living in a new era. Partnerships are more important than profit, and gratitude is more respected than greed. As the millennial generation evolves the corporate landscape, our company aims to maximize the achievements of CBD application and push the limits of what's possible by 2020. Our core product matrix and careful cannabidiol purification process are uniquely designed to be privately made in different regions of the world and is geared to assist the efforts of different nations to change the landscape, various pain-related healthcare costs, epilepsy and autism, rising mental disorders, and even soldier suicides. Crystal Pure CBD is made with the industry's finest 99.9% pure CBD crystals. No paste, no filler. Our solution is a permanent answer, and it saves you over one-third in cost. Crystal Pure CBD. Come join us.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are.
We are.
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.